you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Weird Al Yankovic!
Homer, Marge wrote me about what happened. And as soon as her check cleared, I was on the first reasonably priced flight here.
Did you ever get the parody songs I sent you?
Yes.
Which one was better? Living La Pizza Loca or Another One Bites the Crust?
They were pretty much the same, Homer.
Yeah, like you and Alan Sherman.
Do you smoke a lot of pot?
Medicinal, now.
Yeah. Oh, really? You never think, gee, maybe I should ease up on the weed?
Nope.com.
And now,
this is Cesar Romero with the thought for today. Remember that your yesterdays are like canceled checks. Your tomorrows like promissory notes. But today is like cash.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Our feature presentation.
That's that guy. I don't even know what that means.
Good advice
that.
For today.
That's dumb.
Hey, party people. Why not pick up the phone and give us a call for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew, the Tuesday edition at 1-800-520-1067. That is our toll-free number. From wherever you are hearing the show, you can get on the air and win a valuable prize. In fact, I'm very excited to talk to Paul about the football game last night and the ugly Eli Manning incident where he could not manage his own helmet.
All right. who saw the plane crash over the weekend? Who saw the plane crash in Colombia?
I did not. Oh. I saw the plane in pieces on the ground.
That's the one. That's the one.
Yeah. But I didn't see anything else.
Technically, this is just barely a Bean's Death Corner because only one person died. That plane came up short of the runway. They think it was hit by lightning.
Short of the runway as it was landing?
As it was landing, okay. Yeah. And it broke apart into six pieces. And if you saw this wreckage on the runway, if you've seen pictures or video of this, you can't believe that everybody survived that plane crash. It was unbelievable. 121 passengers on the plane.
Wow.
The only person that died, by the way, is a guy who had a heart attack after he got off the plane.
No kidding.
So he lived. Perhaps from the stress, yeah.
Lived through the actual plane accident and then had a heart attack.
Yeah. Plane was arriving in Bogota, landed in the middle of an intense lightning storm. It's just unbelievable. You have to see this picture, though. 125 passengers on board and six crew members, I guess. And I thought it was really interesting that to have seen that because I just read last week, and this blew me away. I just saw last week that of U.S. plane crashes between 1980 and 2000, more than 90% of the crash victims survived.
Well, that's impressive.
That's way, way impressive.
Yeah.
Don't you consider, in your head, you think, well, you're a plane crash, you're a goner, right?
Of course. Yeah, that's why I always say, oh, well, they're taking me through what happens if we crash and who's going to open the door and all that stuff. Seriously. Let's just admit the truth. We're going down.
And the reason they do all that, Kevin, is apparently if you remain calm during the first 90 seconds of a plane crash, you are more likely than not to survive.
Huh.
Apparently, lots of people who die don't pay attention to those remarks from the flight attendant. And they forget to undo their seatbelt, for instance. They don't wait to get out of the plane before they inflate their life vest, you know, which gets them stuck on the plane. They forget to stay low if there's fire. They stay behind to try to rescue their carry-on bags. They make all sorts of mistakes after the plane is on the ground that oftentimes leads to their death, even though they survived the crash.
I have a question. Is it possible that this is Bean's Life Corner?
I don't know.
Do we have a new feature where Bean talks about how people live?
No. This is a one-off. Right?
Okay. I'm just checking because it seems like, you know, 100 and, what'd you say, 150, 125?
Yeah, 125.
Lived, one died,
and he's focusing
on the living.
And one died just from the heart attack afterwards, too.
So
the first 90 seconds of a crash is called the golden time, and it's very important to follow the rules, pay attention.
Whoa.
What?
The golden time.
That's what they call it.
That's because everyone pees themselves because they're scared.
That certainly could be. I don't think that would happen in the 90 seconds before the crash. So there you go. A little bit of good news to get you started on the Kevin Bean Show.
It didn't
happen very often, but today it did.
All right. Time for your phone calls. Any topic is fine. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
All right. If you miss the X Games, this is good news for you. You get a pair of passes to the private Levi's BMX Pro Team Demo, which is coming up on Sunday, along with a $25 Tilly's gift card. That's what you get. 1-800-520-1067. Let's get to Paul on line one talking about number 10 last night. Hey, Paul, welcome to the show. What it do?
Hey, what it do, Kevin and Bean? What it do, Lisa May?
What it do?
So,
who saw that Don't Hurt Peyton got decapitated last night? How awesome was that, huh?
I didn't see it happen. Explain it to me.
Okay, Brandon Jacobs was supposed to, they checked the playoff. He's supposed to be running the play. He saw that Hicks is one-on-one on the right side. So he was going to do a quick out, and Brandon Jacobs ran right into him. And,
so untouched, the defender rushed on Eli Manning and just pretty much took him down.
Well, Brandon Jacobs, when he smashed into him, he undid his chin strap. So from the backside, Eli Manning just got torn apart. I mean, the helmet went flying. Blood started just gushing out the front of his head.
It
looked like someone shot him in the head. That's how much blood is just squirting out.
But the good news is that Eli probably wasn't really aware of what was happening to him, right?
Exactly.
Until his mom explains to him that he got a boo-boo, he's not even going to know about it.
You saw the look on his face. His face actually looked like he wasn't a tart anymore. It's like they smacked the sense into him.
Now all of a sudden he's sharp as a tack?
That'd be awesome.
He was awfully dazed, though, and he walked over to the sideline. He didn't even lift his arms or anything like that, and the medical team or the sideline coaches or whatever, they came over with a big towel and put it right on his head and started soaking up the blood. He just stood there. I mean, it was quite a hit. I mean, I don't know. It probably I haven't heard any follow-up to suggest it was a concussion or anything like that, but it bled pretty bad, I'll tell you that.
Usually,
it was pretty gnarly.
Most of the time, quarterbacks can get a concussion, but they don't bleed most of the time. I mean, that's when you bleed from the head, that seems, I don't know, bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look what happened to President Kennedy. I mean, come on.
Right. That was my example.
Just as an example.
Just thinking of that. Guy. Right. That guy was bleeding from the head, and that all went bad.
Right. You know what? John Kennedy never played another NFL game.
It's true.
So I'm just saying bad things could happen to you. All right, Paul. Thank you very much for the call. I'd love it. I don't know if we have time or if he's too busy. But if we could dial up Eli Manning and see how he's feeling today, I would sure enjoy that.
Yeah.
Well, let me write that in.
I'd sure love to know if he's
Eli. You think he's okay. Able to talk to us?
I don't know.
Well, it would certainly be worth checking. I didn't see that, man. That's a rough hit. Mm. That's the kind of stuff you hate to see in preseason, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't want to see a guy's head be torn right off his body, and then in preseason where a game means nothing.
Yeah.
And this was the unveiling of the new $2.5 billion, I think they said, dollar stadium last night that the Jets and the Giants are playing, which is just beautiful, by the way.
I hope they have nice medical facilities in that beautiful, stadium. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I may have had one or two, but I know my capacity.
We have live music today from Brendan Flowers.
Nice. Yeah.
Lead singer of the Killers will be here in
does
studio.
He still have the mustache? Has anyone seen him lately?
I don't know.
He was trying real hard to bring the mustache back.
He does not.
Does not. Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to have him in. We're going to talk to him, hear some of his music. That is today. Also, you ran from the cops. Fascinated by this. This happens in Southern California a lot. I don't know if it happens across the country as much. But yesterday there were two high-speed car chases.
Yeah.
And
during morning drive,
they didn't really get away as much.
No.
As got arrested.
They don't.
But they're fascinating, and you start to go through the thought process, and the only thing I can figure out is there have to be some kind of drugs involved, or I'm already in so much trouble that it doesn't make any difference. I want another 10 minutes of freedom.
This is it. I'm gone for good.
Right. There must be some of that going on. And every time we do this phone topic, we have endless calls because people run from the cops.
Our listeners run from the cops.
That's who we have listening to this show. Also, there is a Psychology Today study. And I'm going to tell you right now, you don't need Psychology Today to tell you this. I don't know how they get funding for studies like this, but apparently breast size, people don't really hitchhike anymore.
No.
Because it's too dangerous. But they did a study where if a girl's hitchhiking, her breast size determines how often she'll get picked up or how quickly she'll get picked
up. Well, duh.
Right. So smaller breasts might take her a little longer. Bigger breasts get picked up like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They did a whole study so that they could come to that conclusion.
Men will drive an extra 500 miles if you have big breasts.
Well, I was only going to St. Louis, but sure, I can make Chicago.
Yeah.
How much did that cost me? What did we pay for that study, I wonder?
I don't know.
Probably $1 million or something. That's crazy.
You know, it was done by the same author that did the study that says girls who have bigger boobs get better tips as waitresses.
He just wants to meet a lot of girls with big boobs, right?
This
That's
is
the whole
just,
point here.
What else can I do with big boobs?
God.
I need subjects. Come on, people. I don't know. It sounds shaky, right?
Yeah.
Sounds completely shaky. We're going to talk to Montana Fishburne.
Wow.
This is Lawrence Fishburne's daughter. Lawrence Fishburne, of course, is the movie star with the giant head.
Right.
And his daughter is going into porn, and he's not over the moon with that decision.
Shocking.
So we're going to talk to her and find out. She says her mom's been supportive the whole way, which I find hard. I mean, I don't know how supportive a mom can be in that particular situation. You know,
maybe she just wants her out of the house. Maybe she's been living at her mom's. She's like, whatever,
hey,
just go do something.
Whatever it takes to get you out of here. I don't know if that's the case or not, but we'll find out.
Okay.
And we have some more goodies. We have Citizen of the Day for you. We have some more on Mel Gibson.
Oh, really?
I believe we have some sort of an update on the upcoming boxing match between our own Kevin and Michael Clark Duncan, too, by the way.
Excellent.
I believe the wheels are continuing to turn, albeit slowly, on putting that together.
I don't know what you're talking about. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:52.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for Tuesday. What's going on?
Not much. Not a normal sentence.
Not much. Doto? Hey, Kevin and Bean with the Showbiz Beat. Well, it's just a matter of time, I suppose, but TMZ.com is reporting that Steven Slater is getting his own reality show. That name may not be familiar to you, but if I say, think flight attendant and beers and...
Oh.
Exit slides.
Really?
Then maybe you'll recall. This, of course, was the JetBlue flight attendant who quit his job in a spectacular fashion. And now TMZ is reporting that Stone Entertainment, which is a big producer in reality television, is talking to Steven about a reality show that he hosts in which abused workers quit their jobs in sensational ways.
Wow, how'd they come up with that idea?
I have no idea. But I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. Much like I wouldn't be surprised if we get an Expendables sequel, given its success over the weekend. Hollywood Reporter talked to Sly Stallone about it, and he said, yep, it's plotted out in my mind's eye, he says. I believe this group has to continue to evolve. It can't become just the same people. So how do you get new people introduced to the group? How do you have some of the other guys leaving? Those are the challenges. So maybe we can see other washed-up action stars join the Expendables in movies yet to come.
Now, I did not see the movie, Kevin. I don't want you to spoil it for others, but does
they all die?
Oh,
okay. What? Sorry, what?
Oh.
What?
Spoiler alert! How about that?
Is it like The Departed, where it's literally impossible to make a sequel because everyone dies, or are there enough ready to go on to the next?
It's set up so that it's impossible to not do a second one.
A sequel. Ah. Okay.
Listen, Stallone doesn't do anything unless there's sequel potential to it. Trust me, he thinks four moves ahead of everybody else.
Because I'm faster than light.
He is, by the way.
He is.
Yeah, it turns out he's faster than light. I didn't realize.
Now that I was thinking about it, yesterday we talked about the fact that Stallone was the only actor in history to have a number one debuting film in five separate decades. Mm-hmm. Is he the greatest action star of all time?
I would say so.
Certainly one definition.
Has to be, right?
I would say so.
With Rambo and Rocky and all the other films that he's done in that genre, he's got to be the biggest action star of all time.
Cliffhanger.
I love Cliffhanger.
Tango and Cash.
You didn't forget
Tango and Cash.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I think if you looked at box office, I wonder if somebody like Schwarzenegger would have made more money being an action star. Because I wouldn't even count Rocky in the action genre, by the way.
What?
I wouldn't count the Rocky movies in the action genre.
I think you wouldn't the first one, but you'd have to the next five.
I think
and
the first
Stallone
one is
maybe has made more money in the Terminator films.
Yeah.
One and two. But his other films haven't done nearly as well as some of the Rambos. And
you could be. I mean, you could certainly make a case for Stallone, that's for sure.
I don't know if Stallone, I don't know if Schwarzenegger rather can open a film based just on his persona, just on his reputation, but Stallone certainly can. People will go see a Stallone film.
Right.
Still to this day at 65.
It was funny
I wasn't talking about just today. I mean, who's a bigger star today? I just mean overall, Schwarzenegger to me seems like a bigger action star than Stallone was. But like I said, you can sort of make a case.
You're thinking just about Terminator, but you got to remember also Conan and Commando and the original Predator. That was a huge hit.
Yeah, but then I take all those away because of End of Days.
What was that?
So those get wiped off the slate. He has to pay the penalty for
Christ in New York. It's not Christ in New York. It's Christine York.
That's the best.
That was
you.
That was the
so
best.
So hard.
Maybe one of the best moments of any movie ever.
I remember Kevin and I went to a screening of that together. I don't know why we did.
We were lovers.
We went to a screening in the afternoon. And we were like alone in this theater. And we looked at each other and started howling when that line came out. Did he really just say that?
They insisted that we all see the movie before the interview because Arnold was coming in, and that was part of the deal, is we had to go see it. So maybe they only... I went to see it. I went into screening in Seattle to see it. It was the first, and maybe to this date, only Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I'd ever seen, by the way.
Yeah, that wasn't a good one.
Wow. And it was not.
That's the only Schwarzenegger film you've ever seen?
And it was because I had to. But I remember sitting there going, this is the guy who's this big star that everybody is excited about?
Those of you that didn't see it or don't care, Christ in New York was what he was trying to figure out, and he jumped.
Hey, watch this. Let me play the clip.
All right.
So where are we going?
The girl. I got to talk to her. Find out what she knows.
Wait, we don't have a name, all right? That would help.
Well, maybe we do. Maybe it's not Christ in New York. Maybe it's Chris in New York. Christine in New York. Christine York.
Yay! Come on. He's good.
He's like Sherlock Holmes.
Wow. He gets to it pretty quickly.
Yeah. Because that was written in blood on a body, remember?
That's Christ in New York.
Christ in New York. And right. Then somehow he comes up with Christine York out of all that. Because the devil was coming to New York, you see? Oh, never mind.
And he's in an elevator? I don't understand.
Speaking of sequels, how would you like to see The Sopranos back together again?
Yes, please.
Yes. Edie Falco was interviewed talking about her series, of course, Nurse Jackie, and I can't imagine she does an interview where Carmela Soprano doesn't come up.
Yep.
And she said she's absolutely open, excuse me, to doing a movie that would tie up all the loose ends from the show's finale that we all never really understood.
Yes.
She said, however, she's not sure if it would ever actually happen due to schedules and people moving on with their lives. She said, but I would love to go back there and see all those people that I love again. So, love springs eternal.
Wasn't it Fatty McFatster that didn't want to do it? Wasn't
James Gandolfini really had said at the time of the finale
he wanted to quit.
That he was done with that character, never wanted to see again. But, you know, people change their minds as their bank accounts change.
Yeah.
I've found in show business. And we finally have an answer to who will play the coveted lead role of Lisbeth Salander in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the English-speaking version of the movie based on the popular trilogy of best-selling books. She is an unknown actress, mostly unknown, by the name of Rooney Mara. She has worked with director David Fincher in the upcoming book, The Social Network. Not the book, the movie rather, The Social Network. So Fincher, who is also directing The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, is very familiar with the work, and he thinks she is perfect for the role. And so she has gotten a role that has been one of the most sought after in Hollywood in many, many years.
A lot of A-listers, you were saying, are going after.
A lot of people got passed over in light of the lovely Rooney Mara. So congratulations to her. By the way, Rooney Mara is from a combination of famous NFL families. You know, the Rooney family that has traditionally owned the Pittsburgh Steelers for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And then the Mara family, which owned the Giants, New York Football Giants, for many, many years.
I haven't heard of them.
Okay. Her parents are from both of those families, hence the name Rooney.
Wow.
Mara. That's her middle name is Rooney. So she comes from good football stock. So I'm in favor of this casting.
That's what you look for when you're casting a movie.
I look for people with some sort of tenuous connection to the NFL. That's what I like. All right, I'm out of time. I have so many good stories today. Today's like an excellent showbiz news day, so make sure you come back in an hour if you do nothing else. I mean, you don't have to leave.
We'd prefer
if you didn't. But if you have to, find yourself a radio about 10 minutes till because we're going to have a good time. Today's celebrity birthdays, Belinda Carlisle of the... I almost said the B-52s. That would be wrong. The Go-Go's. Mm-hmm. She is 52 years old.
Belle or no Belle for Miss Belinda
Carlisle? I think
she
still looks great.
Older Belle, though.
We don't have an older Belle, Kevin. We just have the Belle.
Sure?
Yes. For 52, she looks remarkable, and I've always thought she was sexy. I had a big crush on her back in her Go-Go's heyday. What is she?
Oh, that's a fat
Belle. Is she
going
to fight?
That's a fat Belle, sorry.
That sounds like an angry Belle.
I'll take that back.
Sean Penn is 50 years old today. Guitarist Gilby Clark from the legendary Guns Roses is 48 years old today. Donnie Wahlberg celebrates his 41st birthday. Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners is 57 years old today. We might have to get some Come On, Eileen.
Oh,
can we get some Come On, Eileen?
What are you talking about?
I want some Come On, Eileen.
Come on.
I want to play a little Come On, Eileen, the famous song by the Dexy Midnight Runners.
Oh, the song.
Yeah. And Robert De Niro is 67 years old today. Little bit, I'm getting old. Little bit. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
Talking about a story that we heard about on TMZ.com about the sound engineer in the Mel Gibson, Oksana Grigorieva album that they've been making for the past year or so. It was shocking to hear, A, that Mel Gibson talks to her like that all the time, and B, that he is so actively involved in making this record. Wasn't the impression you got, Kevin, that he was just providing the funds for her to become a singer?
Yeah, and then we found out he was writing songs.
Writing songs in the studio, he's producing, he's singing. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but it's not the Mel Gibson that we knew. I didn't know he had any kind of musical ability. It was a real shock to us, so we thought, hey, we got to find out more about this. And producer Alex, God bless her, was able to line up Mel Gibson himself for us on the phone here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Mel, are you there?
Hey. Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We're fine. Thank you for talking to us. I know there's been a lot of pressure on you. A lot of people have been wanting to get you on to interview you.
Yeah,
at least. Right. And we are certainly just going to keep it to this one aspect because we had no idea that you were so actively involved with Oksana's musical career.
Yeah. It shocked me that people were surprised by that.
Well, we didn't know you as anyone who had any musical ability.
Well, I've been very musical my whole life.
Okay.
And I've been busy writing songs and recording my own stuff for years. I've just never bothered to release it.
Really?
Wow. Okay. Well, what kind of, are you a romantic guy or rock or hip-hop or what kind of songs do you do?
I am a very romantic guy.
He's a romantic guy, Bean.
That's what we've learned about Mel.
All different kinds of music.
Okay. All right.
I'm in the studio now if you guys would like to hear some of my stuff.
Oh.
Oh, would we ever?
Yes,
are you kidding
please.
Me?
Yeah.
This has been a very trying time in my life.
Yeah, well, of course.
But, you know, it also has inspired me for a lot of creativity, and so I've been putting some of my feelings into music.
Okay.
And, you know, with everything going on, I had to kind of take a look at my life, and I realized I needed to go back to my roots in Australia. And I was thinking about the Aborigines and their relationship with the planet and how they live their lives.
Right.
And it led me to write this next song that I wrote. It's called Walkabout.
Walkabout.
Mel
Gibson.
My heart is heavy and my life feels incomplete because you look like a bitchin' heat.
Whoa.
Your sad expression fills my sleepless nights with dread. You need a baseball bat upside your head.
Okay.
Maybe that's not new.
And if you get raped by a pack.
Nope.
A pack of
No, we can't sing that. You can't sing that. Listen, Mel, it's
talk about.
No, it's not. That's not a deep spiritual connection with your native land. That's you just continuing to lash out at Oksana like you do.
This has nothing to do with that bitch.
Well, it sounds like it.
It has nothing to do with her.
All right. Can we hear another one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been spending a lot of time with my animals, my horses.
Okay.
And I realized that animals really, they've got it right. It's a very simple life they lead. They're just themselves 24 hours a day. And
right.
That inspired me to write this song. It's called A Simple Life.
All right.
New Mel Gibson.
I don't want to hurt you, but I feel I must be blunt.
No.
You are nothing but a glum gold-digging
Mel.
And when I tell you this, please look into my eyes. You should me and then apologize. I'm gonna burn the house down.
All right, Mel, listen.
And then I'll kill you.
Mel, you
and
can't.
And bury you. Out in the yard.
Mel.
What?
Again, it's just you lashing out at Oksana. You've got to put this
anger
away.
Not everything in my life revolves around her, okay?
But
I've got my own life.
Right, but the glum and the berry and the rose garden, all that's all stuff you yell at Oksana all the time.
That's just, there's no connection to it whatsoever.
We've heard you say it on the phone many times.
The thing I've realized, the whole thing with Oksana, is that life is short.
Okay.
And we need to recognize that.
Okay.
And realizing my own mortality has led me to write some very, very important songs for me.
Okay, good.
So this next song is called Fleeting.
Fleeting.
Okay.
How many nights will I sit staring at the clock, knowing you should be here on my
Come on, Mel.
Everyone argues, everybody disagrees, but you should crawl to me down on your hands and knees.
Yeah, again, this sounds like the calls.
Then you should thank me and then me, because I deserve it. You poor bitch. I've been nothing
all
but
all
nice
right.
to you.
Mel.
Okay.
You
all
have,
right.
You have ruined my life.
This is not a song. Mel.
All right.
Maybe some Valium, Mel.
I hope you all pick up my new CD.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Details in minutes on what the latest progress is on Kevin versus Michael Clark Duncan. They're going in a boxing ring, don't you know? We'll go back to where the controversy began and tell you how you can help make it happen. That's the hottest ticket in Hollywood right now.
Sure.
First, though, Kevin and Bean Afro Line is on the air, 323-520-AFRO. That's our telephone number, 24 hours a day. You call us, leave a message on any topic, then we play it back on the radio.
We did a topic about Psycho Mike says he will get a tattoo, anything that's funny, as long as we pay for it.
Right.
So we took a bunch of calls with some ideas.
Yo, you know, I think Psycho Mike should get a tattoo of nipples on his ass cheeks so it can look like big boobs in his pants.
Yeah, I don't know how to tell that guy, but tattoos are flat.
Yeah.
That wouldn't really look like big boobs in his pants.
No.
They're
but I think he's suggesting that the ass cheeks would look like the boob, and then you get a real good tattoo of a nipple that has some depth, and then it would look real.
When it's naked, it looks... Okay, all right, I got you. Unfortunately, this dude called, and we made the mistake of playing him, and now it's catching on.
Do you guys smell like chocolate cake with doo-doo on it?
Yeah, see, I'm over that guy.
He called 200 times in a row. We finally aired it, and now...
Psycho Mike wants to catch it with doo-doo on it.
Yeah. Okay. See, that's, not even trying. You don't need that to catch on either. Come on.
A new segment idea? Always open to that.
Hey, so I have an idea for a new segment I think would be great on the show. It's called Shut the F*** Up Bean. And
I like it.
Basically, my idea for the segment would be that for the entire segment, Bean would just shut the F*** up.
He put some thought into that.
How would that work? Might work.
Lisa May, I'm a mermaid, and you're drowning.
Yeah.
Oh, so romantic.
See? Doesn't it go the other way, though? Doesn't it say you're a mermaid and I'm drowning?
And I'm drowning. Yeah.
Isn't that what
Russell Brand and Katy Perry, yeah.
You know, Lisa May, this is Gene Simmons. If you're interested in drowning, yes. I can arrange that.
All right. Thank you,
Gene.
Miss Cleo came in and told us that she had to keep her phone on during a movie.
Oh, boy.
Because during Ramadan, she can't eat during the daytime hours. So she needed to know exactly when it was 7:45 so she could break her fast. And they told her to turn it off, and a lot of people were angry.
F*** you, Miss Cleo. Miss Cleo. F*** you.
Miss Cleo smells like doo-doo.
Miss Cleo, I got your back. And by the way, I got your front, too. See, because Miss Cleo's got big boobs, and I got her front, then you get it.
Yeah, we got it the first time.
It's been a while since anyone has been as hated on this program as Miss Cleo was that day, by the way. I don't think I got any support from her, which is very rare. Usually you'll find one, you know, idiot out there who'll agree to anything.
It was odd, though. There were several
three or four calls.
Yeah, that supported her.
It did support
I'm just saying afterwards, I mean, I got dozens and dozens of emails, and nobody was on her side. That's I got one that said, I don't know what the solution is to the Miss Cleo problem, but I suspect it involves topless dancing and a webcam. So I'm with him.
It's a tough side to support.
It is.
Finally, how about a knock-knock joke?
Okay.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
With doo-doo on it.
Yeah.
Does it work?
Oh, no.
Did that work for you?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so.
With doo-doo on it.
Yeah, see, this is not...
Come on. Please, can this not be our show?
Can I suggest, however, that this is the crowning achievement and should be the end one?
Hey, I heard you guys talking about Tina Tequila getting booed off stage at the ICP show. And then she flashed her boobs to the audience. I guess you could say she thought the audience wanted to see her boobs. With doo-doo on them.
See, now that's a perfect
That
did work. That's a perfect use because they were throwing feces, Bean.
Yes. All right, let's end it there, though. Let's make that the last one.
Because it's not going to get any better than that.
Right, exactly. Right. So what's the point of going on?
Exactly.
I missed this week in Rage, guys. I meant to call in, but I couldn't make it. You know what pisses me off? When Adam Carolla can't make a phone call for a 10-minute bit. God, Carolla. Oh, dude, where's Week of Rage? With Adam Carolla, but we don't have Adam Carolla. We're going to have Lisa talk about how Kate makes her day wait. Screw you, Adam.
That didn't help.
Yeah.
I don't think made it better.
Look, it was last minute.
We were going around the room. Every one of us was taking a chance, and she said, I didn't know it was going to be my turn.
Right. How could she see that coming?
And finally.
Well, clearly we need to hear the auto-tune remix of Antoine Dodson, and you could run and tell that. Homeboy.
Oh, one of our best stories. This is a YouTube sensation. You can find it on the internet, roundup at kevinandbean.com. And it's a guy tried to rape his sister, and he came in to help. And then the news anchor interviewed him.
Antoine Dodson heard his sister scream and ran to help.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Lincoln Park. He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
The attacker got loose and went out the upstairs window, but he did leave something behind.
We got your T-shirt. You left fingerprints and all. You are so dumb.
Psycho, you playing this the last night for some
yeah,
of the guys in Lincoln
Park? Brad and Chester came in from Lincoln Park, and they established that there is, in fact, a rapist in Lincoln Park.
He was talking about a city, people. A city named Lincoln Park.
Oh, okay.
But nothing's real until you get the auto tune. And that is when you know you've made it.
He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up. Trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband. Because they're raping everybody out here. We got your T-shirt to the left fingerprints. And all you are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real. You are really, 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 really so dumb.
I was attacked by some idiot in the project.
So dumb, so dumb, so dumb, so dumb. He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up. Trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband. Because they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess. We're looking
Sing
for
it,
you.
You know
we gon' find you. We gon' find you. So you can run and tell that. Run and tell that. Run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy, homeboy.
As we get closer and closer to the eventual boxing match between Kevin and actor Michael Clark
Look,
Duncan,
in I'm just, this corner, there's not going to be a boxing match.
Ralph, how do you feel about a helmet for our boy Kevin? Because I'm a little bit nervous about soft brain tissue.
Well, first of all, there isn't one that will fit him.
Well, we could stitch two together.
So we're going to have to just wrap his head in bubble wrap. That's my plan.
You can go to kevinandbean.com. You can look for my post about the upcoming boxing match, including some great artwork from our listeners who have created posters already for this. There's so many people have contacted us. We're offering to a location. We got offers for ring girls.
There's
offers for prizes.
Well, let's use the ring girls, but there's not going to be a fight.
A black fight. And a white. It's happening, Kevin. It's happening because you mouthed off and you practically insisted that this match happen.
I did nothing of the sort.
Check that your mouth wrote with your fists of fury.
How about the Facebook page, the Michael Clark Duncan and Kevin fight Facebook page, which is at over 850 likes now?
Yes. People are demanding it.
They're not demanding anything.
This is Mayweather Pacquiao all over again.
This is nothing of the sort.
The only fight that people want to see, Kevin.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war.
Nope, it's not.
Race war's on, everybody.
It's not.
It's going down.
No, it's
going down.
It's not true.
Come on. Race war.
All right. Take it easy.
Because you strike me, Kevin, as the kind of person who will back up what he says.
I will.
And
what did I say, Ralph?
Well, you know what?
He throws a baseball like a girl.
That's all you said.
I think.
Well, luckily for you, Kevin, luckily for you and the magic of magnetic tape, one of the greatest inventions of the past 100 years.
Or maybe I said a few more things. I don't remember.
Well, let's refresh your memory, shall we?
When was this from? A week and a half ago?
About that, yeah.
He could do so much better.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I've seen him playing. Was that him?
Yeah.
In the celebrity baseball game? No one throws like a girl more than him.
Oh,
a girl.
Or no, runs like a girl it. Or hits like a girl.
I swear to God.
Michael Clark Duncan. If you know Michael Clark Duncan, if you have any contact with his people,
he won't disagree.
Let him know that we'd like him to come in here and just beat Kevin's white ass.
You know what?
Fine.
By the way, Psycho Mike was right there pretty much saying half of it for me.
All right, he started
or
with
run
the,
or whatever.
Okay, well, let's see how the rest of it played out.
Throwing like a girl is insulting to girls because they all throw better than him.
Wow.
I'm saying he threw like a girl.
I'm saying Michael Clark Duncan could eat
He's
you.
He's a monster.
Could eat you
yes.
for breakfast.
But you know what he couldn't do? Throw a ball to me 3 feet away.
Hey, I've seen you throw, champ. It's true.
Okay,
we didn't see you pitch.
All right, so I can't throw either.
You threw and fell to your knees after you threw.
That happened.
That happened.
Yeah.
In
Kevin
front of
can
people.
Kick his ass.
All right, it's on.
So that's Mike says Kevin can kick his ass. I didn't
but
say
you didn't
it.
Stop me.
That's right.
It is on.
I'll bet he would slap in the ring.
I bet that's how he would fight.
Oh, I didn't say that. Open hand slap.
It's on. I'm going to. I am going to so Don King this match. I'm going to make this happen. A charity event between Michael Clark Duncan and Kevin.
He's such a girl.
Oh, this is so going to happen.
He's a girl.
I don't know whatever it's going to take, but I'm going to make this happen.
He's a girl.
Okay, so you said several times he is a girl, and I bet he would slap in the ring.
Well, yeah.
That's
what
you said.
I was clearly joking. Yes, I was laughing.
Didn't sound
you
like
You
could
tell
joke.
I was joking.
Like just pure derision, just pure
dripping. Oh, that's
dripping
just what
hatred,
you wanted to be.
Just smack talk.
I'm not fighting MCD. It's not happening.
I'll tell you what it isn't. It isn't I'm backtracking. I'm apologizing. I'm running away from this. I want to make sure this doesn't happen.
Right.
It really is throwing gasoline on a fire. When Ralph starts talking about the boxing match, you could have said right then, we're not going to fight.
Instead, I did.
You said, oh, but I bet he slaps like a girl. Oh, I bet he puts the little white gloves on. I mean, you were taunting your opponent is what you were doing.
He doesn't even curl, you repeated.
He doesn't even put the white gloves on, Beanie. He has the white gloves off and he slaps you with it.
See? This is what I'm talking about.
But that's his comedy.
This is your... This is you just being a little bitch, saying things behind your microphone and then running away. And we will not allow that to stand because it's the pride of the whole show now. It's not just
Look,
you.
It certainly is.
You have to be able to represent and back up what you say. You have to. You said it. You meant it. You're here to represent it. So this is on. It is on.
But did you hear me say I want to fight him? No.
Everyone else said it and you didn't say no.
I've said no from the
All
beginning.
You did
there's
was
not going
to
be a fight.
Continue to call him a girl and say he would slap in the ring. And look, if he's going to slap in the ring, you got nothing to worry about, Kevin.
It's a joke because if he throws like a girl, what would he fight like? I don't know. Maybe it would be
we
funny.
We don't know. Let's find out.
Maybe
That's
it would be
what
funny
saying.
To suggest that he slaps.
Then let's wait and see.
No,
maybe,
but I mean,
maybe
yeah,
he
just,
will.
That was just comedy.
Maybe you're prophetic, and it will happen. He will just slap you.
He's 500 times my size and all size and all muscle.
But I thought he was a girl, though, but Kevin. He's just a big girl.
He is a big girl.
And you, see? Listen to you.
I'll have a baseball throw off. I'll do that, but I'm not going to fight him. I'm not an idiot. Look at my head. Can I move it to get out of the way?
When you were watching,
could I move my head any position in the ring to get it out of the way?
At any time when you were watching Michael Clark Duncan throw a baseball, did he ever drop to his knees and skin them?
No.
Well, maybe a baseball throw-off then isn't a good option for you. Maybe that's not the fallback position for you. Maybe you'd be better off in the ring than you would be throwing a baseball, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, failure either way.
So I'm just saying it is on.
It does seem like you put the flaming bag of poop on his front porch, and now you're just running as fast as possible.
Right, but that's
away.
What you do. You put the
if
poop on,
coward,
and then you ring the doorbell, and you run. Haven't you guys ever done that? You run. Running is part of it. You don't just stand there and go, what?
What happened to that guy who you were TPing his house? Remember when you were TPing his house? What happened to you then?
He put a gun to my head.
That's right.
That's what you do. That's what you do when someone TPs your house.
And Michael Clark Duncan is putting a gun to your head.
You're putting the gun to my head.
It's time for you to take the bullet.
Look, I'm not fighting Michael Clark Duncan.
I'm telling you.
I'm not stupid.
One way or the other, you are. That's what I'm telling you.
Even if it's in the parking lot on the way out.
Yeah, you can either fight him in a ring with rules and referees, or you can wait till you get jumped one day walking out to your car. It's your choice.
Admit it, I'm not above roofying your drink and pushing your unconscious ass into a boxing ring.
What kind of a fight is that? I'd probably still beat him.
Funny fight. I'd still beat him.
No,
that's
just a joke.
Said.
Just let's move.
Montana Fishburne joins us coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She told a story in her tweet the other day about a 13-year-old guy that came up to her and said that Montana was her favorite celebrity, and then when this girl turned 18, she was going to make a sex tape, too.
Oh, that's great. That's
heartwarming. So she's passing on some very, very good knowledge to the young women of America. So we'll talk to Montana on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's happening?
Before we get the Showbiz Beat, we may want to make the match MMA as opposed to just boxing.
What are you talking about?
Oh.
The fight between you and MCD, Michael Clark Duncan. Because, as you know, Michael, the first people to contact us were his friends down at the Gracie Academy.
Right.
In Torrance, which, of course, is a jiu-jitsu academy. The Gracie family, legendary for their skills in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
It's really the jiu-jitsu place.
Yeah, they are sort of the first family of jiu-jitsu, and he trains down there. And Michael had this to say about his prowess.
I think with the way my jiu-jitsu's been going, I can take pretty much anybody down. Now, holding them down might be a different story, but you got to have confidence in yourself, so I think I can take anybody down.
Well, there you go. So maybe we... Something
to look forward to, Kevin.
We don't just limit it to striking. We move it to the ground, too. How's your ground game, Kevin?
I'm good at tapping. I can tell you that.
That's a skill you may want to brush up on. I think you'll be using it.
Ralph, will we be able to wager on this match at all?
I don't think. Yeah.
What kind of odds are you going to get?
Who would take Kevin?
Well, that's true.
The only thing. All right, another day. More news about Tila Tequila's poop storm that she went through over the weekend. She now, of course, as you can imagine, has announced she's going to sue.
Well, yeah.
The gathering of the Juggalos. She wants to bankrupt them, she says. This will be the last Juggalos gathering they will ever have. Her lawyer is preparing to sue the festival, and she said, if you just look at these people, or monsters, whatever they are, they looked very angry and violent. Yeah. He is blaming the event itself for the kind of people it attracts and the behavior they allowed them to demonstrate.
Did you see the TMZ story about Insane Clown Posse warning her? Did you see that?
I did not.
Violent J, apparently.
Violent J said don't go out there.
He went to her and he said, they're talking about, you know, I'm hearing rumors that they're talking about throwing rocks and stuff. And so you probably shouldn't go out there. We'll pay you anyway, but just don't go out there. And she said, I'm not a bitch like that.
If Violent J tells you don't go on stage.
His name is Violent, and he says don't go.
His word.
Don't go.
What I feel bad is that, I don't know if you saw the video or not, but we didn't talk much about it, but the comedian, and I use that in quotes, Tom Green, also came out on the stage trying to calm down the crowd and divert attention away from Tila when she was being pelted with stone rocks and bottles and poop.
Did that help?
It didn't help. Mm. But why didn't he get more...
Because he has
abuse and stuff doused on him.
Maybe he did. He's just not whipping it into a frenzy.
I mean, I'd
like
be torn. If I'm sitting in the audience and I've got a rock and a bottle and some poop, I don't know where to throw it. If Tom Green and Tila Tequila are on stage,
yeah,
I might be paralyzed with indecision at that moment.
I think he just shotgunned the poop. I mean, I think he just really tried to cover the stage.
Shotgun the Poop, by the way, playing the true, but they're an excellent, excellent band. Congratulations to Rooney Mara. She is the actress that has landed the coveted lead role of Lisbeth Sander in the American, the English-speaking version, rather, of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, based on the best-selling trilogy of novels. This has been an actor, a role, rather, that everyone in Hollywood is talking about. A ton of young actresses wanted the role, some big, big names, but director David Fincher went with Rooney instead. Largely, I'm basing this on the fact that they worked together in The Social Network, which is a film that comes out in October that Fincher also directed. So, congratulations.
How old is she? Do we know, Ralph?
She's 24, I think.
Wow.
And she's beautiful. Beautiful girl.
And she is very attractive. And she is romantically involved with Daniel Craig's character. I do not know anything about the books.
Yes.
There's like quite an age difference.
There's a smoking hot sex scene that everyone talks about in the books. So. Is she in all three books, Lisa? You've read the books.
She's a recurring character. But they're not together as a couple in all three books.
Couple.
Gotcha. Couple.
I just love that Daniel Craig is sitting at home going, oh, I can't wait to find out who I'm going to be banging in these movies.
Well, you know they don't actually do it, right, Bean?
No, I do understand that.
Okay.
In his
didn't
mind,
sound like you did.
It didn't sound that way at all.
Sad news, but hopefully it'll have a happy ending. Super talented actor, Oscar winner, I want to say, Michael Douglas. He won for Gordon Gekko, didn't he, in Wall Street?
I don't know.
I know he was at least nominated, but...
He won an acting Oscar, and I think he also won a producing Oscar for one of his previous movies.
Yeah, Cuckoo's Nest. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson. Michael Douglas has been diagnosed with a cancerous tumor in his throat.
Mm.
According to People magazine, he's going to have to undergo radiation and chemotherapy for 8 weeks. But the doctors tell Michael that the outlook is very optimistic and he's expected to make a full recovery. So, of course, we wish him the best when it comes to that. And Lance Bass had a rough weekend.
Ooh.
He tweeted that a security guard threw a drink on him and told him, get the F out of a club. While he was partying in New York City.
What was he doing?
Well, that's the thing. That's all he tweeted. Now, the New York Post went and found the guy who worked security, and he said, well, the guy's being kind of a drama queen. Because apparently he was asked to leave an hour after last call was served. He wouldn't leave the venue. And while they were trying to escort him out physically, a drink was accidentally spilled on him.
Oh, you're kidding.
So it's very different from having a drink tossed at you and told to get the F out.
Yeah.
Although I've closed many a bar in my bartending days, and I've said that many times to people who just won't get the F out. Psycho Mike plays that game, you know.
Now, what's the name of the game?
I'm not leaving.
You can't explain to the security guards why, but you just say, I'm not leaving. You just stand there.
That's the only thing you're allowed to say, right, is I'm not leaving.
And what are you waiting to happen?
Get your ass kicked.
Last guy in the bar wins.
Oh, I see.
And the only words you can utter are, I'm not leaving.
You've got a lot of free time on your hands. It is Tuesday. That means new DVDs, CDs, and Blu-rays in stores today. Iron Maiden has a new CD, by the way.
Okay.
It's called The Final Frontier. Filter's got a new CD called The Trouble with Angels that comes out today as well. On DVD, you can check out Furry Vengeance with Brendan Fraser.
Glendale.
That's when all the animals in the forest come after him because he wants to develop their land.
Yeah, no.
I don't think that title helped them at the box office.
I don't either.
Furry Vengeance?
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights, the fourth season, is available
that
on DVD.
That is what I'm talking about.
As is Ugly Betty. And Dexter, the fourth season. By the way, if you haven't caught up, today's the day to look at the fourth season because later in September, the 25th, I believe, 26th, season 5 starts on Showtime of Dexter, which is one of the best shows on television.
So great.
Check it out. Today's celebrity birthdays, Robert De Niro, 67. Belinda Carlisle celebrates her 52nd birthday. Sean Penn is 50. Gilby Clark, legendary guitarist for the Guns N' Roses band, is 48. Donnie Wahlberg is 41. And Kevin Rowland, lead singer for Dixie's Midnight Runners and their classic smash hit number one, one hit wonder, Come On Eileen.
I got big booty bitches.
No, that is not. That is not Come On Eileen.
But it's the same band.
I'm very familiar with Come On Eileen, and this is not
same
it.
Band.
Not the same band. No.
We don't have that.
Oh, okay.
Girl, come and see my vagina.
That's not.
That was it.
That's okay. Bjork.
Okay.
Dexys Midnight Runner Dude is 57 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You guys ready to talk to Montana Fishburne?
Yeah. We are. First, the news story from TMZ.
Montana Fishburne's porno flick is making tons of money. They sold over 25,000 copies in the first few days. They've now offered her a multi-picture deal. They basically want her to come back, full-blown Vivid Girl, do a bunch of films with them, and they're just going to try to capitalize on the fact that people want this chick on tape. They want to buy these DVDs.
All right. Wow. How about that? Montana, congratulations. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
Is that all true?
Yeah, it is all true.
It is all true. All right. I'm so surprised by this phenomena. I know that we all love celebrities, but it's crazy to me that somebody would go out and buy, that so many people would go out and buy your video because they found out who your dad is. I mean,
how do you know that's why they're buying it, Bean?
Well, I mean, it just strikes me as odd because there are lots of other videos probably came out the same week, including others on Vivid from other girls that they also don't know, yet yours gets the edge because of your family connections, which is just, it's astonishing to me.
Yeah, it's really crazy, but people, they're not just buying it because of my name, they're also buying it. It's a really good movie. Well,
now, a lot has been made about your relationship with your parents, and especially your dad, Lawrence Fishburne. It came out, I guess, today in TMZ that you called him ahead of time just to give him a heads up? Is that true?
I let him know that I was, it was coming out. But I don't think he believed me, but it came out.
But how did the conversation start?
That's got to be tough.
Yeah, it was like, hey, I got to tell you something you're not going to necessarily be thrilled with. I mean, was it something like that?
No, it was kind of just like, hey, I did this. Okay, and then there was no conversation after that. And then I talked to him yesterday. The conversation was pretty short, but, he's upset about it. And
you can understand
why. Yeah, I couldn't understand why he's upset about it. No one wants to see their daughter
right.
in his video. And, he's upset that I used my real name. And
hey, that's a good question. Doesn't everyone change their name for porn?
No.
They don't?
No, not really.
Certainly an option, though, right? I mean, you must have used the name on purpose.
Yeah, I used my name on purpose, but it's a good name. I like my name, and I'm not embarrassed by anything, and I don't think I have anything to be embarrassed about, so that's why I use my name.
Hey, Montana, you've had a long, long relationship with your father, and I'm sure that there have been other times where you've been at odds about a decision you made. How do you think this will work out? Do you think he will forgive you and you guys will be friendly again at some point in the future?
Yeah, definitely. Family is family, and I feel like it should always be there. So from my standpoint, I think we should be able to get over it because, family is one thing in life that you'll always have.
You know what the problem is, though? The problem is his friends.
Well.
I mean, because.
There's that.
Here's all I know. I know me. And yeah. I know if one of my friends, down the road had a kid, whatever, I would never stop
giving them a hard time about it. And so I think that would probably be...
Really? Yes. You tease your friend about that?
Oh, probably, yeah.
That seems really sensitive.
Probably, yes. Now, your mom, you said, I read in a report that your mom was supportive. That must have also been equally awkward.
I mean, she's supportive. She doesn't support, like, she's not like, hey, go do the movies, but she just wants me to be safe, lets me know she loves me, and, you know, she's not holding it against me. We still talk, we're still funny.
I'll bet she doesn't ask what you did today. Hey, how'd it go today? What'd you do?
She doesn't ask about work or anything.
Like most family conversations at yeah, dinner. Exactly. How was your day?
We are talking to actress Montana Fishburne, by the way, who, as you heard, has an enormously successful sex tape out right now with others to come. Why did you, let's back up even a step before the tape came out. Why did you make this decision that you wanted to try this as a career, Montana?
Well, when I was 18, I filmed myself having sex on camera, and I loved it. It was one of the best movies I've ever seen. And then I got interested in sex when I was 16 after I lost my virginity, interested in fantasy, all different kinds of stuff. And porn was a way that I could do everything.
Right.
And
porn was I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Porn was a way to do everything?
Yeah, I could do like everything sexually that I wanted to do.
Oh, I see.
And
so it's a big turn on to you to have sex on camera then, and is it also a turn on to you to know that other people are going to be watching you having that sex?
Yeah, you know what's really fun now, especially since the tape came out, it's like wherever I can, like not wherever I go, but it's funny to see, like I wonder if like people have seen my video, and that kind of transition will make me want to, you know, get freaky and wherever I am. Like, I wonder if someone see my video, and then I'm like, damn, they probably have, and then I get turned down and want to go and mess around.
Where are you right now?
Well, I think she's still in bed. Aren't you still in bed, Montana?
Yeah, I'm in bed right now.
All right.
I think you should be making a video with Kevin and Bean on the phone. That's what I think. Now, you're going to end up, the celebrity angle aside, that will fade, let's face it. And now at this point, you know, by the time the next video comes out and the one after that, you're kind of going to be making yourself successful in the industry based on how good you are, based on how great your performances are, how entertaining you are to watch, right? I'm sure you've thought about that.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely what I want to do. I mean, this movie was only a stepping stone to really get myself out there. And then from here, I just want to do everything. I'm so excited because I really want people to see all my talents. The next movie I do make, you're going to see more acting. So,
well, that's what we look for in our porn. I'll tell you that. We want a storyline.
Now wait. So you're going to try and parlay this into what people would consider a mainstream career?
I'm thinking about doing some mainstream stuff. I've had a lot of offers, and, you know, I love them coming in, and it makes me excited because I didn't expect so much mainstream work to become available, but it is. So people think that porn is going to stop me from doing mainstream, but it's definitely not. But mainstream is something I want to do, but also porn. Like, I feel like I'm talking so much, guys. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You should be.
No, it's interesting. Look, lots of porn actresses have tried to make the transition into mainstream. It is easy. I think it's easier and more acceptable now. I don't think the stigma is on porn the way it was 20 years ago, certainly. Yeah. And I, you know, just like seeing Sasha Grey, even though she's playing it herself, you see Sasha Grey on Entourage last week and you go, hey, she's either a good actress or she's not.
Exactly. And that is someone I also really admire because she is someone in the porn world that people don't see as like, okay, she's crazy and messed up. She has a sound head on her shoulders and she's moving into mainstream. Like, so I really like her.
What kind of relationship did you have with your father when you were young? Because there are a lot of people who still have the thought in their head that there must be something wrong or you've been hurt somehow for you to go into this line of work.
No, I had a great childhood growing up. I lived with my mom on the East Coast, and he'd be on the East Coast a lot of the time, and if not, he'd be on the West Coast, and I'd come out here. So I feel like I had a great childhood, really privileged, private schools, the best of the best, traveling all over everywhere.
Did he get you on the phone? Is he the one that gave you a bunch of movie offers? I can get you in The Expendables. I can get you in anything that you have, Dinner for Schmucks. Whatever you want, I can get you in. Please.
No, I'll be fine though.
Nothing like that?
No.
All right. We're almost out of time here, Montana. I got to ask one more question because I saw this report a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if it's true, and I'm dying to ask. Did your dad try to buy up every copy of this video so that people couldn't see it?
Yeah. Reportedly, his friends tried to buy the DVDs, but you know, they weren't able to do it because they had already been shipped out. So it was lucky.
His friends contacted Vivid and said, we'll give you $1 million or something like that. And they said, it's too late. We already shipped them.
Wow.
That was the story. And that's accurate, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
How about that? Well, look, I don't have any.
Does your dad want to see your porn?
I don't think that's what it is at all,
what?
Kevin.
What?
I don't think that's what it is. Oh. I don't have any problem with you making this decision. I mean, you're of sound mind and you're of age and it's legal and you're allowed. And I wish you nothing but success in it. And I also hope that you end up working out the relationship with dad and everything goes great in that direction as well, Montana. I'm glad you joined us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys. And follow me on Twitter at mFishburn.
M. Fishburne. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you.
Awesome.
What about our boy, Eli Manning? Don't you usually have to wait till into the season when the games count before you start making headlines like these?
Preseason game last night. Giants, Jets.
Preseason football. Let's just not have anybody get injured who's significant. Here's Eli Manning, and there's a mix-up in the backfield. He hits Brandon Jacobs' hat, pops off, and then the ball's on the ground, and immediately Manning, he's got that look like this isn't any good at all. So he went down, blood pouring off his forehead.
They checked for a concussion. He was fine. They did x-rays. And Eli said afterward that the collision was really his fault. They did stitch him 12 stitches in his forehead, and they sent him home.
Yeah. Hello?
Eli?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's going on? Hi, we're looking for Eli Manning, please.
Yeah, this is Eli. How you guys doing today?
We're good.
We're a little surprised, Eli, because you don't sound like yourself. We've talked to you many times on the show.
No,
and this
I'm feeling
is not...
okay. Thank you, though.
You got hit in the head pretty hard.
Yeah, I sure did.
Last night.
That was a rough one.
What happened? Your helmet popped off?
That was my bad. You know, this is the thing about preseason. Sometimes you're a little rusty. You're not sure what's going on.
Right.
Brandon and I had a miscommunication in the backfield.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was going to run one way. He thought I was going to go the other.
Right.
We kind of collided, and that loosened the helmet, almost knocked it off. And a couple guys from the Jets came in and kind of finished it off. So it was just one of those situations where you just you don't expect to happen, and then it did.
Eli, do you feel different at all as a result of the injury? Because you don't sound anything.
A little bit. Yeah.
You sound a lot different.
They rode my bell pretty good, but I'll tell you, afterwards, after the game, I felt pretty good. I felt a little clearer than usual.
Is that right?
Things had cleaned up for me. So, hey, hold on a second. Hey, guys, why throwing that ball around? Wait, I'm on the phone. So, I think all things considered, it turned out okay. I'm just glad to know I'm okay, and I'll be ready for the season to start.
Giants fans were terrified watching at home and those in the new stadium there because there was so much blood. You ended up getting 12 stitches after the game.
Well, that part of the head has a lot of blood vessels in it, they tell me, so the blood looked worse than actually the cut. Guys, could you please watch where you're throwing the ball? I'm on the phone.
Do you need to go somewhere else?
No, I got some time here in practice. Just wanted to... Hey, guys, watch it. Seriously. Ow!
Oh, no.
Hi!
Eli?
Yes!
You get hit in the head again?
Yes!
Oh, that's so sad.
I have a gash.
You do have a gash.
I had a gash.
Yeah.
Yes.
What happened? What happened right there, Eli?
I'm
what
10.
You're number 10. You play number 10 for the Giants, right?
Oh, blue.
That was short-lived.
Yeah.
I bet you enjoyed being able to...
I got hit in the head again.
Right.
Yeah, you did.
Made him sad. You should ask him to hit you again.
Oh, no, that hurt.
I'm just saying.
Don't hurt my head.
All right.
Okay. No, I have suggesting. A helmet.
You did have a helmet.
I
should
have
a helmet.
I used to wear it on a school bus.
Yeah.
Now very... I get paid money to wear one.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you should never take it off, Eli. Apparently, these head injuries are bad for you.
Hi.
All right, Eli.
Oh, Kevin, Michael Clarke Duncan is going to kick your cracker ass. Oh,
that is true. You're right about that. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Dirty Heads, Offspring, Slightly Stupid on the way. Hey, go to kevinandbean.com right now and find out how you can help Kevin. What's going on?
Well, we're doing our back-to-school charity event mm-hmm. this Friday. This is where we put together 1,000 backpacks for kids that are that come from families of domestic violence. And it's really sad because they don't even have new backpacks and pencils and stuff. And they just want to fit in at school.
Yeah.
And then you go to school and then everybody's asking why you don't have stuff. And it's really difficult for little kids at this time of year. So we try to help out abused women and children. That's our charity. And if you go to kevinandbean.com, there is a section there and a way that you can text to donate. 27138. Just text 27138 and then type backpack and then whatever number you want to donate. 25.
Oh, that's
five,
easy.
Whatever.
I love donating that way.
Yeah, we try to make it as simple as possible. Or you can go to the website and give any amount on your credit card or whatever. But it's this Friday, and if you'd like to help out, we would appreciate it. And for everybody who already has, thank you a million times. You really have no idea the kind of impact that that it has on the other end.
Yeah.
So what about really a copy of the Montana Fishburne DVD to put in every backpack for the kids?
Well,
what about that?
I don't think that's appropriate, but we'll think about it.
Okay.
We'll work on that. We'll work on that and see. But anyway, go to kevinandbean.com to find out more information. And again, for everybody who already helped, you guys are the best. And every single time, without fail, Bean can back me up on this, that we bring any kind of charity to the air, the listeners of this radio station are overwhelmingly generous.
Yeah,
they really do. Wonderful. They do help. They're
and
great.
We know
I mean, really, they want to help. They just need to know how to do it.
Yeah.
And then that's what we're trying to do here, yeah.
So thanks to everybody. Friendsandhelpers.com is the website. Let's do the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day, shall we?
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
All right, I have three stories you can pick. The story number one is Jim tells woman she's too fat for workout equipment.
Wow.
The second story is man hit by stray bullet at violence prevention barbecue.
No
Sweet.
Kidding.
And the third is women steal money at ATM exposing, quote, assets.
Yep.
So take your choice on that one.
That would be the one.
Sounds
Let's hear
like
the assets.
The room's going with boobs, it
all
sounds
right.
like.
All right, women steal money at ATM exposing assets. This is brilliant, first of all. And second of all, I'd like to encourage it to happen more. This comes out of Paris.
Okay.
Two women described by police in Paris as attractive.
Okay.
Exposed their breasts to a man inside an ATM in Paris and took off with his money. So here's what happened. They wait, and then the dude walks up, and he puts in his code. After he put in his code, one of them says, hey, look at these. Okay?
Oh, that's pretty direct.
So the dude who's already put in his code turns to look at those, and then the other girl goes, $300, and hits
wow.
it. And then they take the cash and run!
Son of a gun.
And it worked!
That's brilliant.
Of course it worked.
The women in their 20s exposed themselves to distract the man as he punched his PIN code into an ATM. They withdrew 300 pounds. And
nice.
The incident was captured on that little security cam, but no one has been able to identify the women.
Because no one has bothered to look at their faces yet.
Right. But the police are putting up a warning. We would advise anyone withdrawing cash from a machine to focus on what they are doing and not allow themselves to be distracted, however attractive the view.
That's like telling someone if you hear a giant bang, don't look around.
Right, exactly.
There's just no way.
There's nothing you can do.
No.
So,
unless you're Tila Tequila, you can't stop people from looking at your boobs and forgetting what they're doing, right?
No, women win.
Yeah, totally.
You lose. I mean, and for most guys, they go, all right, that was worth $300.
That's fine with that.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Yeah. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Brandon Flowers from The Killers joins us later on. And coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to need to talk to you, the Kevin and Bean listener, if you've ever been involved as a driver in a high-speed chase from the police. Had two of them in Southern California yesterday. Both, of course, ended poorly for the drivers. They usually do. But sometimes people get away. So we want to hear from you if you have ever been, if you've ever run from the police.
I did. Stuart Copeland was behind me on a 10-speed.
Not
was,
that kind of police.
He would not the leave cops. Me alone. He was
the cops.
So pissed
not,
off.
Not the police, the cops.
And then Annie Sumner was right behind him, and then Sting.
Sting was in a helicopter ahead.
He was filming the whole thing. I don't know, some sort of pop art piece or something. I don't know what was going on.
That's not what we're talking about.
That is coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but apparently Steven Slater, the JetBlue airline attendant, who quit by grabbing some beers off the cocktail cart and sliding down the emergency slide, is now being talked about regarding a reality TV show.
Oh, what a surprise.
TMZ is reporting that Stone Entertainment, which, by the way, brought you Joe Schmo's 1 and 2.
Oh.
Same company.
So they have a checkered history.
They do. They've already got a questionable past. Is talking to Stephen Slater about a reality show that he would host that featured abused workers quitting their jobs in sensational ways.
So he'd help them plan?
I guess.
And then you jump out of the ninth story with a parachute.
I'm just afraid he gets his hands on Lisa. We're all in trouble. That's saying. She's disgruntled. So we'll have
to wait
and see what happens. That would not be a good episode.
Probably
That'd
not.
That'd be a very special episode of the Stephen Slater show. Speaking of television, have you seen the new season, America's Next Top Model commercials?
No.
The commercial features Tyra Banks just over the moon in love with this 6'2", 100-pound model that's going to be on the show.
Right.
Are you kidding? What is she, a
skeleton? Say those statistics again so Kevin hears them.
6'2", 100 pounds.
You're not exaggerating?
No.
No.
I'm sorry, what?
That's right, kid. That's how a woman should
Spencer
be.
Spencer likes that.
All right, look. Spencer, good.
She doesn't have any implants, though, Spencer.
What?
Yeah, sorry. And one of the judges goes up to her and puts his hands around her waist and his fingers touch.
No!
That's gross to me.
She prides herself on she having what she claims the world's smallest waist.
That is not what I want.
It's not what anybody wants. But apparently,
Tyra wants.
People are up in arms because she's all giddy about it and just loving it, and she reportedly has always been an advocate of women with curves and kiss my big fat ass.
I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
Now Tyra is saying that she does not condone that commercial.
Doesn't condone it?
No.
What?
It was not approved by
her. I'm Tyra Banks and I do not support this message.
But wait a minute, isn't it her saying she loves her?
Yes, it's footage from her program.
Wow.
Her actually saying it.
Wow.
But she told Entertainment Tonight that the latest commercial misconstrued our overarching message.
Which is, you can look any way you want as long as you're beautiful on the inside.
We like all kinds of hunked up models. So,
please.
She said she's very upset about it. And it's not good for body conscious young women, she said.
Every season they make a big deal about how plus size models are welcome. And every season they cast a couple of them. They're almost always the first to go.
Of course.
They make it sound like they have a shot at winning and they don't.
Yeah. It seems like she needs to pick one or the other, one message or the other, which is you don't have to be skinny or be on a supermodel show. You can't do both.
Yeah.
Well, the truth is that she decided to embrace curves when her fat ass was caught on the beach.
That's right.
60 pounds overweight.
Right. That's when all of a sudden she got pro curve.
Mm-hmm.
I love how she says the commercial misconstrued our overarching message. It has some idea what it's talking about. Someone just edited that and put it on television. It didn't misconstrue your message.
You don't have a message.
You didn't try to communicate with the commercial and get it to understand. Oh, what a bitch.
You guys got to see this chick, though. She looks like a Barbie doll come to life.
Yeah, she's freaky.
It's crazy.
And Pearl Jam guitarist Stone Gossard is reviving his side project, Brad. Do you remember his band, Brad?
I do.
No.
They took an 8-year break, and now they're back
only
together
that much?
Again.
Yes. All right.
The group's fourth album, Best Friends, is out now. And Stone tells Spinner.com that the tracks were recorded in 2003... but have finally been released. So everything about this band is as fresh as today's headlines.
What's happening?
I don't know. And speaking of going back to the Wayback Machine, Warner Brothers has announced a brand new movie for that Waskly Wabbit Bugs Bunny.
All right.
Yay!
It's about time.
Yay!
We got another one of those.
Yeah, they are plotting a computer-generated animation feature film featuring Bugs and all his Looney Tune friends. So
in 3D?
It does not say here, but I would be surprised if they don't put it in 3D. Last Looney Tunes movie was in 2003 called Looney Tunes Back in Action. Anybody?
Nope.
Anybody? Famously before that, they did Space Jam in 96 with Michael Jordan. Some of the characters appeared in that as well. But we haven't had any new Bugs Bunny material in some time.
I don't know, Bean. I don't know that anyone's dying for that.
But if you've got, new to kids.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny would be brand new to kids. If they make a good movie, you could take them to that as well as you could take them to any other new animated franchise.
Here's the problem about Bugs Bunny. The best Bugs Bunny stuff was done in, the 30s and 40s. I mean, those cartoons were funny because they were basically for adults.
And they had a very wry sense of humor, and Mel Blanc was brilliant, and they were really well done.
And our parents don't remember those. But, so what about kids?
But the rest of the recent Bugs Bunny stuff has all been sort of watered down crap. So I don't know. I don't have much hope for this new feature film, but who knows, maybe they'll surprise me. Oh, sorry, did you get fed up, Kevin?
Yeah, I meant to play this.
This movie's going to suck.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Donnie Wahlberg is 41 years old today. He, of course, famously from New Kids on the Block, but then became an actor in his own right. He is 41. Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses is 48 years old. Sean Penn celebrates his 50th birthday. Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's fame is 52. Robert De Niro, legendary film actor, is 67 years old. And Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners, the band that gave you the famous one-hit wonder, Come On Eileen.
Come on, Eileen. Oh, I swear, baby. Come on, let's.
How did they not have another hit after this?
Make you happy?
Yeah.
Doesn't make you want to put on a pair of denim overalls and a handkerchief around your neck and just dance up and down the street and Doc Martens?
Nothing makes me want to do that.
Come on, Kevin. Let's go get some. Let's go get some overalls.
I'd rather not.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, we want to talk about high-speed chases. You mentioned earlier, Kevin, they are extremely common in Southern California because there's more highways in Southern California than anywhere else in the country, but they do happen across the country. Rarely does anyone ever get away. And yesterday there were two of them while we were on the air, and one of them had something happen that you don't see happen very often, right?
Ever. I've never seen it happen. And I watch high-speed chases, and I love them for this reason, because there's just no telling how it's going to end. I don't need disaster to be happy. What happened yesterday made me perfectly happy.
You want to hang with the high-speed chase on TV in case the guy gets all out day. Wearing a dress or with
happened.
His pants off. Or any, all these things have happened.
Yep.
Well, let's pick up the action right as the car is getting ready. The truck, I should say, with two people in it, is getting ready to stop on the 10 freeway.
With only one on the back left wheel is just a rim. There's no tire whatsoever. Yeah. So it's going 1 mile an hour?
Pretty much.
For about a mile.
Exactly. Right. So we'll pick up the coverage with the Fox LA coverage. I did the best I could to edit out the annoying woman who won't shut up. And mostly you'll hear Steve Edwards in the booth describing the play-by-play.
And this often is the most dangerous part of a police pursuit. At the very, very end, it depends whether this driver is going to be cooperative or not and how law enforcement handles this. You can see the flat tire and the left rear there, he's going very slowly, but he hasn't stopped yet, so he's not yet in the control of the officers.
And this
all right, he stopped now. He is stopped now. Let's see if he remains stopped.
Looks like he's coming out.
All right, now we've seen this part of the drill oftentimes, and you just at this point hope that this driver is following instructions. He's now in the control of the officers.
Okay, so you think that's the end of this high-speed chase, right? He's laying on the ground. Yeah. He's got about 30 police officers with their guns drawn approaching him, right?
It's always the same. They make him get out. They make him back up toward them. Mm-hmm. Then they make him get on his knees, lay on his stomach, and put his arms out. And that's the position he's in.
Well, this guy's not quite ready to turn himself in yet.
And they go through the drill, making sure to try to determine that he's unarmed. Eventually, usually he'll be down on the ground.
Okay, now what is he doing? He's going back into his truck. He is ignoring the commands.
This is not good. You see the action on the screen
right
there?
Not good.
And taking off.
He is just
again.
Playing with those officers.
So he gets taking off.
He's laying down as if he's going to give himself up. Then he goes, nah. Stands up, walks right back to his truck, gets in it. Bear in mind, he's only got tires blown out on his car, right? So he can't really go anywhere. I don't know what he's thinking. And how far does he drive before he has to surrender again?
Another 45 seconds. He makes it about 10 feet because his car won't go anywhere. And then he stops again and gets out and gets on the ground, and then they arrest him.
Did you hear the helicopter?
This is highly unusual, what you're saying here.
Well, these people are never in their right mind, you know, to try to pull this off and to think you're going to get away with it. Clearly, you're just not...
You're just
just not. And that guy, by the way, especially at that point, and maybe he's just savoring his last few seconds without handcuffs on, but he knew he was cooked and he still jumped back in his truck again.
Yeah, that was odd. And he knew his truck couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Right. I heard the pilot in the background say, told him to go to hell.
So we wanted to talk to Kevin and Bean listeners who have been in that situation and what goes through your mind as you realize the police are behind you or there's a helicopter above you and you're really, at this point, you're not getting away. I mean, Kevin, you said off the air yesterday that a lot of these people you don't think are thinking rationally. They're not thinking, hey, the longer I stay in this car, the more likely I am to cause an accident, maybe hurt or kill somebody.
Right, or they're on drugs or something, you know, or they have a hopeless situation. They know they're going to jail forever, so yeah. What difference does it make? Yeah. Who knows?
Let's talk to Kent on the Super Secret Line 9. Kent emailed us yesterday when he heard us discussing this briefly. Hi, Kent. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Not much. How about you guys?
Good.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
So you ran from the police?
Yeah, about actually 7 years ago, I ran from the cops on a Tuesday night. We got away because we were near the dirt. So we went into the dirt and got away within 3 minutes with a sheriff chasing us down in Riverside, California.
Sure. And a lot of dirt in Riverside.
Oh, yeah, the IE, great place.
Now, I'm sorry, you were on a motorcycle or a car?
Oh, no, it was a four-wheel drive truck.
Oh, a truck, okay.
Wow, how'd you get away? I mean, that's very difficult to do.
Yeah, well, we were over by Lake Matthews, and there's a dirt road we know really well we take every night, so we got into that within 3 minutes, and the sheriff gave up.
Yeah, I guess probably more, you know, his car isn't exactly four-wheel.
Right.
He probably didn't know the terrain. And then he sized you up, and he was like, nah, this guy's not worth it.
That's right here.
All right.
Thank you, Kevin.
Good call. Thank you very much. Let's try Keith, line 3, and then we're going to take your calls, too, at 1-800-520-1067. Keith, you also were able to get away from the police, right?
Yes, I was. We were in high school, stole a car on a Saturday night. We were big into graffiti, went that out, got caught, ran for about 5 miles, crashed the car, got away. For the most part, and then
wait a minute. I mean, got away for the most part.
Well, second period, we're still in high school. They came and arrested us in second period the following Monday.
How did they know it was you guys?
Wow. So they identified
the fingerprints.
Oh, I see. So they identified. So you got away that night, but they knew who you were.
That
so
that means his fingerprints were on file.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and he was it wasn't the first time.
It wasn't. Yeah, clearly. It would have been way better for them to arrest you, you know, out there in the middle of nowhere rather than in class. They walk into class.
It was, but then when, you know, after we got back after juvenile hall for about 2 weeks, you know, you kind of had a little celebrity status.
Sure.
In high school, you know, so.
Nobody better act with us.
Yeah, so, Keith, let me ask you this. So once you see the lights on behind you and you realize you've got a police on your tail, you know it's only a matter of time, most cases, before you get caught because they've got backup. All they have to do is hop on a radio and they got cops coming from every direction to where you're at. What's the thought process involved in making the decision to flee rather than just pull over?
We were, you know, it was just get away. We already knew we were going to get busted for a lot more stuff than just what we had, you know, just for the
car you were in was stolen, for starters.
For starters, and then, of course, we're in graffiti, so we're getting busted for that.
Sure.
We got charged for that, and then we're throwing all the spray paint cans and everything out of the truck as well.
So littering.
We got cops for littering. Then the one cop, when we did drive, we were going like 95 down a street, and a big rig passed in front of us, and he said he closed his eyes because he thought we were going to hit it. So.
Oh, man. But you're lucky you're alive.
Yeah, after that, we crashed the car and ran. So.
Okay, last question for you, and it's awesome that you called. Was that the end of your one-man crime spree? Did you clean it up after you got arrested that time?
I got arrested twice before I was 18 and haven't been arrested since.
All right. How about that? Well done.
All nicely right. done. You do it before you can really get in big trouble. That's the message to the kids.
knock it out in high school.
Exactly. All right. Thank you for the call. See, this is the quality listener you can get, advertisers, if you put a commercial on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right. We got some fantastic calls with some great stories going up to 160 miles an hour. I can't wait to talk to David and everybody else when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Right now, we're talking to Kevin and Bean listeners who have tried to get away in high-speed chases. By the way, I don't know if they're screening it this way on purpose in the other room, but it sure seems like almost everybody who called was able to get away. But that has to be the tiniest minority of people who try to get away, right?
I would think, especially once the helicopter gets involved, it seems like you're screwed.
I would
There's
think
nowhere to go.
So, too. Yeah.
Let's start with David. He's been on hold for a while on line 6. He says he went as fast as 160 miles an hour in his high-speed chase. That is high speed. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You must have been on a motorcycle.
Yeah, I was on my motorcycle. I was cruising down the 118 doing my morning ride, and I was speeding a little bit. But there was a motorcycle cop with his radar gun, clocked me. And, you know, as soon as he clocked me, I seen him get on his bike. So I kind of took off a little fast. And while I was hitting about 110, and I seen that he was still kind of gaining on me.
Right.
So I just downshifted, and I looked back. And when I looked back, he was gone. I looked at my speedometer. I was going about 165, 160.
Wow.
Now, I'm no gearhead, but I know that there are a lot of people listening who will want to know, what kind of motorcycle were you riding?
I was on a Yamaha R1.
Yeah, he wasn't, was he? I don't know. I think the cops kind of, I think they have to make a judgment call if it's worth
safety
going that fast or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to CHPs before, and they told me once you start going over 100, they won't bother chasing you anymore.
It's too dangerous.
Interesting. So is that good advice for the ketamine listeners today, is make sure to hit 100 if you're evading the police?
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, David. We appreciate it.
Look, not to mix the message, you're a dumbass and you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
For the most part.
99% of you.
Right.
Let's try Richard Lide 4. Sounds like he had a very exciting chase as well. Richard, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What happened?
What's up, guys? What's up, Lisa May?
Hi.
How you doing?
What happened with you?
I had my license plate all tucked up underneath the back of the rear fender there, and it takes so much that I guess the cops don't really like that too much. And so I got to the intersection. And
why did you have it tucked up underneath there like that? Just so it couldn't be seen?
Well, yeah, from the side of the profile of the motorcycle, it looks a lot better if you don't see the license plate hanging down in the back.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's a motorcycle. Okay, go ahead.
So you move it up all in the back. Well, anyway, so he got behind us. Well, I'm knowing that I'm driving on a suspended license, and immediately he flips on the little red light.
Mm-hmm.
So I take off, make a left down a residential street. My friend just keeps going straight. The cop follows behind me. I zigzag through a neighborhood. By this point, by the time I got up to the main highway, I had another motorcycle behind me. So now I had a car and a bike behind me. So I'm really, really scared at this point.
Okay, can I stop you right there? Richard, let me stop you right there. What's going through your mind? Did you think, hey, maybe I should just give up before it gets worse, or worse, I get hurt?
No, I have to get out of this right now.
You have to run, okay?
I have to, yeah. My parents are going to kill me at this point.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so I take off, and I just like this guy, I did the same thing. I downshifted. I took off. I ended up hitting Grand Avenue at 155 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
God, you could have died.
You're so lucky you didn't kill someone else or yourself.
Yeah, well, it was dumb at the time, definitely.
Yeah.
But when I turned around, now I had another bike behind me. So I had two bikes and a cruiser behind me.
Now you gave up.
No, I turned into my friend's neighborhood. His garage door was open. I pulled my bike inside and shut the door, looked down the street, and watched the cars go, doo, doo, doo.
Wow, are you lucky. So you had just enough time to get in and close the garage door.
Close the garage door, and I ducked down between the two cars with my helmet on.
Wow.
That sounds like something right out of a movie, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does.
And what's crazy is the fact that my friend drove me home, and the guy that I was riding with was sitting there at my parents' house waiting for me because he's like, yeah, I knew you were going to get away.
Oh, man.
All right. Very impressive. Johnny is on line 2 joining us here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Johnny. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What happened, dude?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Hi.
Hey, listen, man.
Hi.
What happened?
Okay, well, I ran, actually, got sentenced to do 2 years, and I didn't want to do it, so I took off. I had to come back. My money ran out. Taking my girlfriend to a clinic. She was pregnant, and we're arguing.
Your story has everything.
I'm lost. I'm already lost. At some point, were the police chasing you?
You don't want to catch up. Trust me on that.
No, I'm not asking for a retread. Just get to the part where you're in a car and somebody's following you.
No, I like all this.
Me and my girlfriend in the car, and we're on the 2 freeway going to the clinic, and we're arguing. I get off on the wrong exit. When I get off, I look behind me, and there's like a NAR car and a sheriff car or a highway patrol. I wasn't sure at the time what it was.
Right.
And I knew they caught me. I mean, I was running. Her mom hated me and said she would throw the cops at me. And sure enough, she did. And once you get out the exit, if you go straight, you're going to go back on the freeway.
Of course, yeah.
I told her, I'm gone. I go, I am not pulling over. I'm gone. And I just, as soon as the light turned green, I booked it. I just went. Their lights went on.
Oh.
The NAR cars. And once I got to the 134 freeway, on every entrance of the freeway, there was a police car waiting for me. So I passed by. They just follow. I had sheriffs, highway patrols, LAPD, and a NARC following me, and the helicopter.
And?
It sounds like your car chase went on long enough that we probably watched you on TV.
Well, I had an ex-girlfriend that saw me on the TV.
Okay.
I was with my girlfriend that was pregnant at the time, but I was in my ex-girlfriend's car taking her to the clinic.
Oh, fantastic. See, Kevin, this is your dream, is to be at a high-speed chase that's on TV. You'd be calling everybody you know going, dude, seriously, turn on Channel 5.
But this guy has everything. He's taking his girlfriend to a clinic and his ex-girlfriend's car and his ex-girlfriend's watching TV and she's watching him.
And now he's running with a pregnant woman in his car.
With 10
his
cars
mother
behind
called
him.
The police on him.
Oh. All right, we're out of time. Did you get away?
No, I had enough time to pull over really quick. I wanted her out of the car because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
I went down the wrong street, dead end, jumped some bushes, was hiding. The helicopter, I guess, was calling him where I was at.
Right.
Her mom said I was armed and dangerous, so they had guns on me. I mean, it was just insane. I was like, don't shoot. And they just handcuffed me, put me in a car. And the other cops wanted to go to the cop car where I was handcuffed to see. So I want to see this guy that was driving, because I did lose him at a time. I couldn't lose the helicopter.
So they thought you were a good driver, but the helicopter was the thing that tracked you down.
I could not get away from the helicopter.
Yeah.
It was in the daytime. There was no way. I lost the cop car for at least a good 30 seconds away. I had nothing behind me for the longest.
How about that? What's the charges on something like that? I mean, you must have broken a bunch of laws.
Well, yeah, it was invading police. It was the point was, I mean, I was sentenced to go to 2 years prison, but I didn't want to go. So, yeah, on top of that, they just gave me like 9 months. But when you're in prison, the halftime and all that, it was nothing. So it was worth it.
That's the message. Okay.
I'd do it again.
I'd do it again. There you go. There's our boy. Very excited about Brandon Flowers from the band The Killers coming in, joining us in about 10 minutes. You know, he was just on stage at an insane Clown Posse concert over the weekend.
Nope.
And they started throwing rocks at him.
That wasn't him. Human feces.
And then he took his top off. It's like the weirdest thing. Like, what's he trying to do taking his shirt off on stage?
That was tequila.
Just think it's a miracle after that much abuse that he's alive and well and coming into reform.
I must have been confused. All right. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
Big controversy over at NBC.
Uh-oh. Apparently Jimmy Fallon, as you know, is hosting the Emmys this year.
Didn't know that, but okay.
And he's doing some promos that they're running on NBC to promote the upcoming telecast of the Emmy Awards.
Right.
And one of those is a very funny parody of Mad Men, where he walks into the office building as Don Draper, basically. You don't know it's Fallon until they get to his face, because it's him carrying the hat and the briefcase and everything.
So it all looks like it's real.
He goes up to Christina Hendricks, who is playing her character Joan in the spoof, and says, here's your day's agenda. You've got a meeting with Coca-Cola, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, you're hosting the Emmys as well. And then they cut to Fallon. He's got a cigarette in his mouth. He spits it out because he didn't know he was hosting and everything. It's quite funny.
Right.
Well, turns out the other nominees for Best Drama are complaining, saying that that parody gives Mad Men too much free publicity and is affecting the Emmy voting, and they want it pulled off the network.
Oh.
So now he either has to do all of the nominees or zero.
Right. So what they're going to do is they are going to pull it off and wait until Emmy voting has finished on August the 17th, and then they said they'll be putting the ad back on television. But
That's today, so we'll get a chance to see it again, I guess.
They take it pretty seriously, don't they? These Emmy folks.
And by the way, why do they think that, I mean, NBC's clearly not promoting one show over another. It's not like it's on NBC, it's on AMC. They just did it because it was funny and creative, right?
They thought it would be a funny sketch for Fallon, that's all. A little pop culture, that's all. Sequel for The Expendables? Well, yes. If you ask Sylvester Stallone, he told Hollywood Reporter it's already in the works.
It's blotted out in my mind's eye,
he said.
My mind's eye black? You punched me in my mind's eye?
He said, I believe this group has to continue to evolve. It can't become the same people. So how do you get new people introduced to the group? How do you have some of the other people leaving? Those are the challenges of the sequel. But he promises additions to the cast.
Come on, Steven Seagal.
So maybe Steven Seagal and John Van Damme, maybe actually Jean-Claude Van Damme would be joining the cast, which would be cool.
Jet Li was great, as was Jason Statham, so I hope they don't leave. I mean, they were great.
Lindsay Lohan in the news. She could be out on the streets within days, if you believe TMZ. Apparently, she's doing so well at UCLA Neuropsychiatric Hospital that the doctors believe she's almost the picture of mental health. No, I'm kidding. She apparently isn't suffering from bipolar disorder, according to their diagnosis. And her addiction may be less severe than originally believed, so she could be a candidate for outpatient care.
Okay.
Let's just err on the side of caution here and leave Seriously. Lindsay in for a couple more weeks. Yeah. What do you say?
Here's the problem without...
What's the down?
Here's the problem with the... I'm sorry?
What's the down?
Side. Here's the problem with outpatient for somebody like her is that she doesn't have anything to stay busy with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the rest of us would have to go to work and we have to do this and that. She has nothing.
She seems to have a family that tells her, it's not your fault. Sure. They were really hard on you. You didn't do anything wrong.
Instead of outpatient therapy, maybe she should get out of her mind patient therapy. And that would be better off for her.
I swear to God, I saw Michael Lowen, her no good goddamn father, on TV yesterday, criticizing Dina Lowen. She should get something else in her life other than just talking about her daughter all the time.
What?
I swear to God, I couldn't believe it.
Hello, kettle, meat pot.
Yeah.
You two should get to know each other. Speaking of hot messes, Molly Sims has announced she would like to give Britney Spears a complete makeover.
Okay.
She's going to fix the patch in her head?
Molly says she wants to give her the ultimate gift, a complete makeover, the ultimate gift.
Yeah.
I'd like to give her Molly Sims a gift. She tells Health Magazine that she believes Britney is so pretty, but just incorporates too many trends at the same time. Yeah, that's her problem. Too many trends. It's not walking around barefoot in restrooms and then giant pussy patches to the scalp peeling off her skull.
And a nonstop diet of Twinkies.
Molly said she would take away Britney's collection of cowboy boots and tank tops. That would help her fashion felonies, she says.
Okay.
And speaking of fashion felonies, this is bad news for people who love singing and people who dress up weirdly all over the world. Lady Gaga's new album was rumored to have been co-produced and guest starred by legendary weird rocker himself, David Bowie, who's been known to dress up in some outfits himself. Apparently, there was a scanned document that showed up on Lady Gaga's daily message board that showed David Bowie as co-producer, guitarist, and vocalist for at least one recording session on the new album. But David has come forward and said on his official website that it is not true and it is some kind of hoax, but he is not working with Lady Gaga.
Okay.
In fact, he released...
Seems like a strange mixture.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, I don't know. They're both sort of high camp fashionista kind of recording
artists.
Right,
he's classically that way.
He has kind of grown up and stops doing that, but back in his Ziggy Stardust days, he was with the wild makeup and the costumes and everything, so it kind of makes sense to a certain extent. One generation passing the baton to another, perhaps. But Bowie released this statement this morning that said he apparently is not working with Lady Gaga.
I'm not working with Lady Gaga. I'm not working with Lady Gaga. Won't be working with Lady Gaga. Won't be working with Lady Gaga. I'm not working with Lady Gaga.
Apparently he is not.
I'm not working with Lady Gaga. I'm not working with Lady Gaga. I'm not working with Lady Gaga. I'm not working with Lady Gaga.
Yes or no?
I'm not working with Lady Gaga. I'm not working with Lady Gaga. Won't be working with Lady Gaga. I'm not working with Lady Gaga. Won't be working with Lady Gaga.
Not working with her. Okay.
Never working with Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Won't be working with Lady Gaga.
So yes.
Won't be working with Lady Gaga. Won't be working with Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga and I are working together. It's a rumor. Don't believe it.
We understand.
I think it's unclear.
I can't tell. Maybe in the future.
Did he mention whether they were working together or not?
He did not address that in that particular press conference.
Let's hear it again and see. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong song.
Speaking of Come On Eileen, lead singer of Dexy Midnight Runners, Kevin Rowland is 57 years old today. Belinda Carlisle is 52. Robert De Niro is 67. Sean Penn's 50. Gilby Clark of Guns N' Roses is 48. And Donnie Wahlberg celebrates his 41st birthday. Tell your mother I said hi, Donnie. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
From Linkin Park on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 12 minutes after 9 o'clock.
That song so takes me back to my rave days with all my poppers. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I think you sold that.
Look, I don't care.
With all your poppers.
With all of your poppers.
I don't care if the president comes to visit. But don't screw up traffic to the point where our guest, Brandon Flowers from The Killers, is having trouble even getting to the radio station, all right?
Is that Obama?
That's Obama.
Yeah, I think it's Obama.
Well,
I think
he needs to get out of the way.
Socialist.
I know. This is what happens when you have a goddamn foreigner running your country, is all of a sudden traffic is just not important. So move, people. Brandon Flowers is trying to get here. We want him here, and we want to talk to him before the end of the show, and he's going to play live. So Brandon Flowers from The Killers in minutes right here on The Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Ralph has been seething today.
While we have extra time, do you mind if I vent a little bit?
Time for another Ralph's rant?
If you would.
Absolutely.
One man, one quest. He doesn't sleep until corruption and deceit is brought to the forefront. His crusade is to make right on all that is wrong in the world. A fighter for injustice, he will avenge us all. His name, Ralph Garman, and this is Ralph's Rants.
What's got you angry today, Ralph?
I've been sitting on this one for a little while, and I can take it no more. So I would like to send out a general message to whoever's in charge.
Okay.
F the phone book.
F the phone book?
The phone book. They are continually coming to my house and dropping off a 12-pound stack of paper bound together with names and phone numbers and addresses and leaving it on my front porch. And I'm telling you now, phone book people, but in less time than it takes for you to drop the book onto the concrete in front of my home, it is in my garbage can. That's where I'm putting it.
It is a million pages long as well.
It is a yellow dinosaur that no longer needs to roam the earth. The meteor has struck, and it's called the internet. That's where we're all getting our phone numbers and addresses from.
So
you
true.
Are no longer needed.
I get
know
like
that. Own it. Surrender. The war is over.
I get like three or four at a time.
There's a white one, there's a yellow one, there's a couple yellow ones. They got the yellow pages, white one, then they got somebody else's yellow pages. F you all. Stop murdering Amazonian rainforest worth of paper to send us these books that nobody uses anymore. Nothing could be more antiquated or useless. And it's a pain in my ass. And the sprinklers hit it and it gets wet and it's disgusting and I hate you and stop it.
So you're all right with it?
Phone books suck, right? We haven't needed the phone book in 10 years.
Certainly haven't used one in that long.
That's what I'm saying. It's time for them to let it go. I know that, we've been putting them out since 1804. That's wonderful, but we've all moved on. You need to join us.
And if you don't have the internet, you can call 411 and get a number.
It's a lot of sources that involve electricity and technology.
And
have nothing
paper.
To do with, okay, let me just thumb through this. Oh, let me see. All right, I need a plumber. Let me go. Let's sit and painter. No, not painting. No. Pottery? No, not pottery. No, no, no.
You don't
here's the plumbing page.
You know what happens when you type in plumbing in the internet?
Boop.
Plumbers.
That's what happens. You type in the internet, a plumber actually shows up. It crawls out of the screen and fixes your toilet. In the time it takes me to page through the P's in the yellow pages, I've had my toilet snaked. And that is not a euphemism.
Okay, good.
Now, I know that there are people who do not have the internet. Is the assumption from the telephone companies, hey, let's give it to everybody because there may be 20% of the people who might use it? Is that what they're thinking? Because if that's the case, wouldn't it make more sense to request a phone book if you need one? Because most people don't.
Or buy one if you have to.
But again, you can
sell them.
You can call 411. So it must be that they sell ads in it. They sell space in it or something.
No, but I think the people who maybe use the phone book want to be able to open up and see 100 plumbers to choose from. You can't call 411 and do that.
That's right. And you get so much information from A&A Plumbing, A&B Plumbing. You really know which plumber to use by looking just a list of effing names with phone numbers
next to them. I'm not
what
disagreeing with you.
What a genius way to select your craftsman.
I'm not disagreeing with you that the phone book is antiquated and needs to be killed. And the people who make the phone book need to be literally killed. I'm not disagreeing with you.
And
Kevin needs to box the people who make the phone book.
The people who don't have internet also need to be killed, by the way.
Well, I don't know about that. There are people who don't have internet, and I'm fine with that.
And they should be murdered. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm trying to understand why they continue to deliver so many phone books to so many people. The only thing I can guess is it's a blanket approach to get those few people who want it. But they should make it an opt-in. That's the answer.
Dude, I think it's a revenue source.
But if
people are, if you're an idiot and you're taking an ad out in the Yellow Pages today, F you and your business, you should go out of business. Because no one is reading your ad in my recycle bin, douchebag. No one is accessing your information. You are wasting your money and time.
You're soaking
paper.
Wet ad.
Yes. No one is reading your ad. You are getting zero business. Well, maybe there's a 97-year-old woman who does not use the internet, and she is looking it up, but she's just looking for some sort of lubricant. That's all she's looking for. She's not looking for your business, whatever you offer.
Oh, she's looking for their business.
if you're not a mortuary or a florist, no one her age is looking for anything in the Yellow Pages. Unless so she's preparing to finally take the long dirt nap.
You've identified the problem. What is our solution? What are we going to do about it?
Stop it.
Murder. As always, okay. My solution just is murder. The people who make the Yellow Pages, the people who use the Yellow Pages, and anyone who doesn't have the internet. I think it's time to clean house. That's what I'm saying.
Thin the herd.
No, but seriously, these people, they have to stop making this thing.
It certainly has been outdated for 15
and
years.
And in this green era that we all try to believe we're living in, can you think of a more massive waste of paper than literally the thousands of pages it takes to make just one of those phone books, one of the half a dozen or so different varieties that are dropped on our doorsteps on a regular
basis?
But
at least it doesn't get used at all.
At least that happens. For it. Other than for midgets trying to drive cars, for them to sit on something
okay.
So they can work the pedals. That's the only possible use that could have.
All right, so you got one use.
So we should murder the midgets too, is what I'm saying.
Okay, maybe right. Not. So no more phone book?
F the phone book.
All right, good.
Hello, everybody. This is Brandon Flowers.
Perhaps best known as that guy from that band. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brandon Flowers, Flamingo, in stores everywhere on Tuesday, September 14th. How are you, Mr. Flowers?
Doing pretty good.
Good to see you. I know you had a rough time getting here to the Kevin and Bean show today. Stupid president, his stupid motorcade, and his stupid helicopter, right?
Well, he's got to be protected.
Yeah, but he needs to stay out of your way. That's all we're saying.
We're saying priorities. That's what we're saying. We're saying you getting here more important than wherever he's going. That's my point. Well, it's good to see you. You know, we do, we run into you time to time at the various, Weenie Roast, Acoustic Christmas, and whatnot. But this is a little bit different, a little more low key, having you in studio talking about a solo record. I'm sure you've been asked to death about this, but you're in one of the biggest bands in the world. Why do you need to make a solo record? Isn't one great job enough?
It is. It is definitely enough. This is a couple of the guys in the Killers have kind of said, all right, we've spent 8 years burning it at both ends, and we need to take some time off.
Right. And how is that not your answer as well? I mean, I'm glad that it isn't, but aren't you burned out as well? Doesn't it?
Well, it's just I just had kind of a rush of songs come in, and I felt like I don't know. I had about I've been home since February, so I've had a decent amount of time at home and.
It's not all it's cracked up to be.
No, I love it. I got two little boys at home, and
oh, there's the answer. That's it right there.
But so you put together a solo album,
yep,
a full album, and you're doing what? A couple of dates, four or five concerts. You're doing one tonight.
Yeah, these are kind of a small, just getting our feet, used to this new ground and trying out the new songs before the record comes out. Then we'll do some more serious touring.
What was the reaction from your brothers in the Killers, who you have, sweated and toiled in the trenches all these years with, when they got the news that, hey, I'm going to go off and do something on my own?
Everybody was really supportive. And, actually, Dave, the guitar player from the Killers, plays on Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas. And Ron plays drums on Playing with Fire with our other drummer.
So it's kind of a cool deal, and
everybody's happy.
But now when they're ready to come back, aren't you going to be exhausted?
I've thought about that.
Good point, Kevin.
Seems like bad timing.
I'm working on that stuff right now.
Now, a lot of times when any band member decides they want to make a solo record, it's because they've got ideas for songs that just don't work as the song from the band. But what little I've heard of your solo record, these could be killer songs, it sounds like. It's not like you're going off in a crazy, you know, electro direction or something like that that wouldn't fit with the Killers.
Yeah, I don't have any anything I need to get off my chest, or, you know, I would prefer, I've said, you know, that this probably, you know, I would rather this been a Killers record, but it's just this is just the way it turned out.
Oh, that's interesting.
How'd you go about finding the members of your new band?
These guys are guys that we've met along the road, and basically since, you know, playing with them, and we actually met a few of them. We're in a band, and we were both opening for Stella Star. They were in Ambulance LTD, and we were, our first tour in America was opening with Stella Star, and they were the other band with us.
Oh, how about that?
That's very cool. And you are going to be playing tonight at the Troubadour. We actually have 10 pair of tickets.
No way.
We could give out right now. It's sold out, but if you would like to see Brandon Flowers do his Crossfire tonight, you can see it. If you want to call, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number.
Now, how much of the new record will you do on stage? Because some artists are afraid to present too much of the unreleased music because they're afraid it's going to get bootlegged and up on the internet right away.
Yeah, we're going to play about eight of the songs, 8 out of 10. So we're hoping to save a couple, you know, for a surprise, I guess.
And killer songs?
Yeah, we do a different version of, you know, we've got a couple in the bag.
Okay.
Those aren't so hard to work up, are they? You've done those plenty.
Are you doing any 80s cover songs?
Actually, we did in Vegas, we did Betty Davis Eyes.
There it is. There it is.
Now, how do you pick that song?
It's always been a song that I've been drawn to. I love it. It came out the year I was born, and I have a special attachment to that song.
How did you find, for your video, how did you find Charlize Theron? Because she might be the hottest ninja ever, or whatever she is in your video.
She's we've just been really lucky with, you know, just asking people that you wouldn't imagine would say yes, and they just do. And I knew she was a fan of the Killers, so I just gave it a shot, and she was really amazing, and it was cool to watch that. You know, you always hear about that thing that great actors have, where you can be with them in a room, and then as soon as the cameras turn on, they something special happens.
Life. Yeah.
And not that she isn't beautiful and everything in person, but something happens when they turn the cameras on. It really is amazing.
And she's kicking ass, and that makes it even better.
It's awesome.
So you didn't know her at all. You just knew she was a Killers fan, so you had your people just contact her and say,
I had met her a couple of times.
All right. So the new album is called Flamingo, and that's about Flamingo Road, basically where you grew up, right? Mm-hmm. And it comes out September 14th. And you're going to perform a couple songs for us.
Yes.
Can we take a break and come back and get those?
Yes.
Fantastic. Live Brandon Flowers from the world-famous K-Rock next. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Brandon Flowers is here with some help, a little bit of help. New album is called Flamingo. It is out Tuesday, September 14th. And let's hear a little live music from Brandon Flowers now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Still in the street outside your window. You're keeping secrets on your pillow. Let me inside, no cause for alarm. Promise tonight not to do no harm, I promise you, babe, I won't do you no harm. And we're caught up in the crossfire of heaven and hell. And we're searching for shelter. Watching your dress as you turn down the light. I forget all about the
clouds rolled their way over town. Heartache and pain came a pouring down. Fiery arrows drew their beating veins. And when the hardest part is over, we'll be here. And our dreams will break the boundaries of our
on. How about that? Fantastic.
That's all that is. There's no way that's live. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was live. And I got to give you credit, Brandon. A lot of people who have high notes to hit when they sing in the morning, they usually try to sing lower than that because your voice doesn't warm up for about another 12 hours.
Yeah.
You were going for it. You were hitting them all.
I've only been asleep for a couple hours, so I hadn't quite. I don't think I had the real set in.
All right.
I just know that I want to go on the road with Brandon's backup singers. That's the only thing that I know. I don't care where they're going or what they're doing. I am tagging along. I'm sorry. Brandon Flowers from The Killers is here in studio with us on The Kevin and Bean Show. The solo record is called Flamingo, due out on September the 14th in two different editions with two different covers. There's the regular one, then there's the deluxe edition. What do you get with that, Brandon? You get a home phone number or what? What comes if I pony up the extra $3 for the deluxe edition?
You get about four extra songs.
That's not bad.
And
that's
you
worth
get,
it.
You know, the art's a little bit different. You get a few more pictures of me out in the desert.
Well, you know how to sell it.
My life has been missing right there. Pictures of Brandon Flowers in the desert.
I love it out there.
Now, the song you just did is the first hit off the record that we've been playing here a lot on the Kevin and Bean Show. But I've not heard anything else, so I'm very excited to see what you guys have cooked up to play for us next year.
Right.
What song are we going to hear?
This one's called Hard Enough, and on the record, it's a duet with Jenny Lewis. And so here, you ready for it?
Absolutely.
All right.
Older now, so
Some people think that it's best to refrain from the conventions of old-fashioned love. Their hearts are filled with holes and emptiness. They tell themselves that they're too young to settle down. Girl, I promise you I'm older now. And this has been hard.
Fantastic.
Really great. Kevin, I mean, listeners that won tickets to go see the Brandon Flowers solo show at the Troubadour tonight are going to have a great time. And I think you told us you're going to do a few warm-up dates now, then head over to Europe, and then you're going to come back and do maybe a bigger tour, go all over the country, right?
Yeah, we're going to do about a month.
A month?
That's right. Fantastic.
And then when you get back with the Killers in about a year, they go, let's do some of your solo songs. You're going to say, no, you had a chance. Right?
I don't think they're going to be too thrilled about doing these.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, you don't fight over them, so that's good.
Awesome of you to come in and play live, and thanks to the band, too. You guys really did sound tremendous, and Brandon, it's always great to catch you. I don't think we've seen you since we were doing karaoke with you in Burbank last year.
No, it's been a while.
Had breakfast hot. With it was at Dimples, and it was 155 degrees in there. That's all I remember.
Yep, sure was hot, exactly. I think Brandon sweated his mustache off that night. I think that was the last time we ever saw the mustache. Too damn hot. All right, you guys are awesome. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Kevin Bean Show. We very much enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Don't go away, though. Big show tomorrow. We apologize in advance to the Ralph Garman fans who were not able to hear his final showbiz report of the day, but obviously he got bumped for Mr. Flowers. Great show tomorrow. Stephen Hawking explains why we all need to leave the Earth. He's got an idea for that. Also, the beautiful Kat Von D from LA Inc. is going to be joining us, and our old friend Jimmy Kimmel. Whatever happened to that dude since he left the Kevin Bean Show? I don't think we've talked to him since.
Nope.
I don't even know what he ended up doing. But all that is going to be tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Cat Corbett's next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the brand new song from the Dirty Heads called Stand Tall. Also some Phoenix, Foo Fighters, 30 Seconds to Mars, and next after this on K-Rock.